Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this midweek video. If you haven't already done so, if you consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. What I want to get into in this video is just a quick follow-up on what we covered earlier in this week. Today is Friday, August 16. Yesterday on August 15, I released this video of the weight of in number 731, printer's error or editorial change. And there's a couple things that have come to light since this video that I just wanted to briefly share with you. First thing is, in the comments here, Hope Under Fire, Nate Coinga, left a comment about, he left a comment regarding how Reagan was counting things. If you recall from yesterday's video, by the way, if you haven't watched yesterday's video first, you should probably watch that video before you watch this one. But we talked about how Reagan was counting things, and Nate raised some issues and questions about that. There's some discussion here in the comments regarding that. But it prompted me to go look at Scrivener's book, which is who Reagan was relying on. And there's a couple statements here regarding something in Appendix A. Reagan mentions this appendix, but this is the statement I wanted to read. Obvious misprints and the particular orthography, that would be spelling, of the original are excluded. So what Scrivener is saying is that this table in this Appendix A does not include things that were obviously printer errors or things that were just strange spellings or orthography of 1611. So when Reagan makes some of his summation statistics in his piece, you got to be careful because they're not based necessarily on all of the relevant information, because he's basing it on what's being talked about here in Appendix A when Scrivener has clearly excluded certain pieces of information. Now, in looking at this, because of that conversation in the comments, it prompted me to go and look at, does Scrivener in 1884 note the verses we talked about in the video from yesterday, Numbers 7:31 and 55. And it turns out that he does. And notice what he says here. He says, Charger of the Weight, 1762. So he says that the phrase of the weight is added to the text in 1762. But then notice he also notice he says, so all in verse 43. Now, I was so hyper-focused on just looking at the one verse that I didn't look at the whole chapter of number 7, which is what I want to briefly talk about right now. But if we go look at verse 43, so here's the 1611. Let's look at verse 43. His offering was one silver charger of the weight of. So verse 43 in the 1611 has the three words that are missing from verse 31. Let's go back to verse 31. His offering was one silver charger of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels. So it doesn't say of the weight of there. That's what we talked about in the video from yesterday. And then we could go down to verse 55, and we can see right here, his offering was of one silver charger of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels. So verses 31 and 55 in the 1611 do not include the three words of the weight of. That's what we talked about in the last video. But verse 43 does include those words, okay, as you can see right there. So I'm like, wow, that's interesting. So then it prompted me to say, okay, well, have I missed anything else in Numbers chapter 7? Because I was so sort of hyper-focused on looking at that. So I went back to the interlinear, okay. So here's a blue letter Bible interlinear for the Hebrew word in this question. I'm going to go ahead and play this pronunciation. Mishkal. All right, so we appreciate the assistance there. But notice this word is 49 times in the Old Testament text in Hebrew. 47 times it's translated weight, and it's translated way two times, okay? So you can go here and look now at the occurrences, okay? So you can see all the times that it occurs, and I want to direct your attention right here to Numbers 7. So this Hebrew word here, it's in verse 13, it's in verse 19, it's in verse 25, it's in verse 31, 37, 43, 49, 55, 61, 67, 73, and 79. So there are 12 occurrences of this Hebrew word that is related to weight in Numbers chapter 7, okay? So then I'm like, well, that's interesting. Let's look at these other occurrences, because so far we have two times where the translators elected not to do anything with that and just leave it alone, and then once in verse 43 where they include the phrase of the weight when they did not do that in verses 31 and verse 55. So it prompted me to want to know more about this. So I went and I looked. So this is Bod, the Bod document, Bod 1602, related to, let me just get this called up here. So we're looking at verse 13. This is the first time the Hebrew word occurs. Notice his offering was, they take out A and say one, silver charger, and then notice this right here. The weight thereof was is added to the text. So let's compare that against the 1611. And notice, his offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was. So not only do they amend the text, but the 1611 accepts the emendation into the 1611 text. The next one of these is in verse 19. Notice it here. Let me adjust that so you can see it. Here's the addition in question. You come out to the margin. You see this note here. It takes you out to the margin. And they're saying the weight whereof was should be added to the 1602 bishop's text. So let's look at verse 19 in the 1611. Notice he offered for his offering one silver charger, the weight whereof was. So again, now we have an emendation being made in the Bod document to the 1602 base text, which is then carried over into the 1611. Okay, let's go to verse 25. Okay, it's absolutely fascinating that you can check all this stuff. There are quite a few changes that are made to verse 25. The one in question that we're talking about is, see these two dots here? They take you to the margin for this phrase, which is again the weight whereof was. So we go to verse 25 in the 1611. And we see his offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was. So again, that is added. It's the emendation is there in the Bod document, and it shows up and is accepted into the 1611. All right. Now let's go to verse 31, which is the first verse that we talked about yesterday. And you'll notice that there is no emendation on that part of the verse. And so if we come to verse 31 in the 1611, this is what we looked at last time. His offering was one silver charger of 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels. Nothing is done to that verse. That verse in that phrase and that clause is left to stand as it was in the 1602 bishops without any further revision. The next occurrence of this is in verse 37. So let's find verse 37. Here it is. Okay. Notice this is crossed off. You come up to the interlinear note here, and again it says the weight whereof was. So we can come to verse 37 in the 1611. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was. So again, an emendation that is made to the Bod document is showing up now in the 1611 text. Verse 43 is the next verse. Here is the verse in question. You can see the caret. You come up here to the insertion, and you have of the weight. So this is the time noted by Scrivener that prompted me to go back and look at this again. Verse 49, and just to be clear, verse 43 accepted that into the text. His offering was one silver charger of the weight. So this is the time where of the weight is added in verse 43. It is not added in verse 31. It was not added in verse 55, as we'll see here shortly. Verse 49, notice right here, you have the verse, you have the caret here, the emendation comes up here, the weight whereof was is inserted. We can look at this in the 1611. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was. Verse 55 is the next occurrence of a word related to weight. There is no emendation to add the phrase of the weight of in Bod 1602. We can go to verse 55. His offering was one silver charger of 130 shekels, one silver bowl. Not there, because there's no change in the other document, so it is not revised. Verse 61 is the next verse that this would apply to in this chapter. Right here, you can see again the caret, the interlinear line, the weight whereof was, and you can look at verse 61. Oops, we need to go down here. His offering was one silver charger, the weight whereof was. Now, I'm going to stop there. You just need to know the exact same thing I just showed you for verse 61 and a bunch of these examples would apply also in verse 67, verse 73, and verse 79. So 12 times the Hebrew word shows up in this chapter, okay? 10 times the translators amend the 1602 bishop's text to include something about the weight. And there's a couple different forms this takes. The weight thereof was, the weight whereof was, or of the weight of. Okay. And then two times they leave it alone. They let the bishop's text stand. It gets passed on into the 1611. It gets passed on through 1629, 1638. And it is not changed in verse 31 or verse 55 until Paris changed it in 1762. Okay. So you can start to ask yourself, well, why would this be? All right, what's going on here? Why would this be the case? I don't think you could say, well, they overlooked it, okay? And I don't think that's going to work because obviously the King James translators are being very thorough. And if you look at verse 55, are they making other changes to verse 55? They are making other changes to verse 55. They just don't elect to change that clause. Same thing with verse 31, okay? So they're making all sorts of changes to verse 31, but they don't insert the phrase of the weight of, which they do later, which they did in verse 43, but not in verses 31 and 55, okay? So you can't say they overlooked the two verses because they did a bunch of work on the two verses in question, namely verse 31 and verse 55. So they just elected not to change it. They just elected to accept the bishop's reading into the 1611 in these two verses without changing it. But it would be very clear in the context of what's, as you read through this, of what's going on and what's being talked about because of, you know, what the other changes that they've made. And so they're not adopting here an identity of phrasing. If we go to the preface, they tell you this. Miles Smith says in the preface that they're not going to stand curiously upon an identity of phrasing, okay? And they did not tie ourselves to a uniformity of phrasing or to an identity of words. So in the minds of the King James translators, it must be the case that, you know, that they don't view these as substantively altering anything, changing the doctrinal content. They don't view them as, you know, doing anything different other than just potentially allowing for there to be some variety as you read through Numbers chapter 7. Okay. So I think the explanation is as simple as that. Now, why this matters is this cannot be a printer error because there's no evidence that in verse 31 and verse 55, the King James translators ever intended for those words to be inserted into the text. They were not identified as a printer error. They were not added to the text for 151 years between 1611 and 1762. Not only that, they passed through the two Cambridge revisions of 1629 and 1638, on which Ward and Boyce served as part of the committee that did the work on the translation. So these are editorial changes. They are added later by Paris, and it seems to me that he adds them to make the text more literal and to conform verse 31 and verse 55 with the rest of the verses in the passage. That was his choice. Then he made that choice, which again, as I said in the last video, presents an issue if you're going to demand the exact word, that God by inspiration gave the King James translators the exact words in English that he wanted written down. Because now you have two verses and six words in which you have different wording. You could say, well, that doesn't matter. That's nitpicking. That's trifling. That's straining at a gnat. But I'm not the one making the argument that it has to be exact. If it has to be exact, then somebody has to tell us which edition is the exact one that got everything exactly correct. And I think the totality of the evidence that we've looked at in both videos, the first one and now this shorter follow-up video, I think demonstrates what is going on in this particular case. Okay, so if somebody is going to say, no, those are printer errors, you're wrong. They have to falsify the arguments that I've presented in the previous two videos. They have to demonstrate factually and objectively where what I've said does not accord with the facts, and they need to replace it with their own alternative explanation based upon evidence and not just opinion. So appreciate everybody listening to this and looking at a bit more information regarding it. As always, we want to remind you here about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt tech site. Should something happen to our YouTube ministry, so if you like an alt tech site, an alternative to YouTube, please check us out here on Rumble. Also want to encourage you, check out and pick up a copy of the book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word for Yourself. Don't take other people's opinions for what is argued in the book. Check it out yourself, do all diligence, and hear the matter before you make a decision. And want to remind and invite everybody that Grace Life Bible Church is having a Bible conference at our place, October 18, 19, 20, and our theme this year is Understanding the Nature and Character of God the Father. Three speakers, Matthew Hawley, Charlie McQuillan, and myself, and the whole theme of the weekend is devoted to understanding the nature and character of our Heavenly Father. So it should be a great time of studying the Word of God. We'd like to invite everybody to come. We'll leave a link in the description for this video if you would like to check that out. So, without any further delay, the most important decision that you can ever make in your entire life is to trust Jesus Christ. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and shed His blood to make satisfaction and satisfy the offended justice of God against sin so that He could give you and I eternal life as a free gift. Trust Jesus Christ today. Rely exclusively in His death, His burial, His resurrection for your sin. Stop relying in your own work, your performance, your church going, whatever it is that you're relying upon, and trust and rely exclusively on Christ's shed blood for you. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.